When wildfire season hits, the headlines seem to be all about evacuations and firefighters' containment efforts and how many homes have been destroyed. But after the fire, there are more long-term effects on our environment that we don't always talk about. And the show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. Hey, Lauren.
Morning, Mark. So last summer, I went up in a helicopter to report on the effects of wildfires with Ron Clawater with the Salt River Project, or SRP, and we flew over the area that was burned by the Dude Fire in 1990, and we saw the long-lasting effects on the land there.
So the Dude Fire happened in 1990, and we're seeing the forest. There's not much of a forest left. Some areas that may have been ponderosa pine originally and then burn at a high intensity, you may never see ponderosa pine there again.
So we saw that wildfires can affect the environment for a long time because of the way they change the soil. So over the weekend, we saw a really good example of this again. Firefighters battling the Burrow Fire in southern Arizona got some help from monsoon rains that radar estimates wetted 80% of the fire. But with that rain came flash flooding, lightning, and washed out roads that made conditions unsafe for firefighters to continue. So why does this happen? For more on that and the other environmental impacts of wildfires, I got a hold of Charlie Ester. He's the manager of surface water resources at SRP.
It seems almost counterintuitive that it would be so dry that we can have these really devastating wildfires, and then the first significant rain that falls on them creates flash flooding. And what happens in some of these more intense fires, when you have a very high intensity fire, regardless of the type of material that it's burning through, it could be forest or chaparral, even grasslands, when it's very hot, the ground is actually affected such that it no longer will absorb water for usually about 2 to 3 years. It's much less able to absorb water. So the soil actually acts almost as like a parking lot, and very little of any of the rain that falls on it will actually absorb into the soil. So therefore, even a light to moderate rain can potentially cause flooding conditions. And once the water starts moving down the drainage ways and across the hillsides, it has a lot of energy by moving downstream, and then it tends to start to strip away the soil and can carry a whole bunch of debris along with it, the soil itself, but all of the ash and any leftover material from the fire.
Right. And so I remember seeing this when we went up in the helicopter last year, seeing areas that had experienced a wildfire 20 years ago, and they were still sort of barren. So how long does it take for a forest area that has been burned by a wildfire to come back to normal? Does it ever?
Believe it or not, in some of these very intense fires, like the Rodeo Chediscai fire that burned through beautiful timber, mostly ponderosa pine forests that were, you know, several hundred years old, those forests may actually never come back to that condition again.
Right. And so let's dig into the why this happens a little bit. So we hear that natural fires, are brush fires, are good for forests. And how are wildfires different?
Well, first we need to define what a wildfire is. And it's very simple. A wildfire is a naturally ignited fire, so typically by lightning. Now, those can be of various severity. It can be very low severity, which is good for the forest, or it can be a very devastating crown-type fire, where the fire actually gets into the tops of the trees, and that's when it kills all the trees. Now, it's very important to remember that virtually every landscape in Arizona are all fire-adapted ecosystems, and fire-adapted ecosystem is just a very technical way of saying fire is a natural part of their environment.
Right, and this is why we hear that fighting fires in forests for so many years has really put us in a worse position, right? Because we have not let those healthier fires burn.
Absolutely. In hindsight, and I say that because at the time, managers thought that this was the correct way to manage the forest. But in hindsight, putting out wildfires was the worst possible thing we could have done to our forests.
So what other long-term environmental effects are we looking at when we're looking at these sort of very high-burning, devastating wildfires? How can it, for example, have an effect on our water supply?
Intense wildfires can be very damaging to our water supply. You can have these flash floods that bring all kinds of litter and debris and any chemicals that are left over from the fire into the river systems, and those can eventually make it down to our lakes and reservoirs that we use for our for our drinking water supplies. Mm-hmm. And then the chemical effects of the fire. Of course, you have all these chemicals come in, and it changes the pH or the acidity of the water. It brings in all sorts of other chemicals. It makes treatment of the water at the water treatment plants very, very expensive. Not impossible. The cities can still treat it. But we're talking tens of times more expensive than natural clean water.
All right. Charlie Ester is the manager of surface water resources at the Salt River Project. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this today.
You're very welcome, Lauren.
The Forest Service has really changed their approach to this. They now really promote the use of natural fires in our forests, and they manage them. And the government's Four Forest Restoration Initiative is aiming to thin and restore 1 million acres of forest in about a 2.4 million acre area stretching across the entire region.
That's the show's Lauren Gilger. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Mark.
And you are listening to the show.